All right, good morning, everybody. We are honored today to have, I started to say new, but I think Rico's been up here. This is third time in about a month and a half, 5 weeks or something. So,
hey, you're using them up, Bob.
I just told him I'd give about a two-month break. Build the strength back up. We'll throw you back in the arena. But this is Elias's first time, right? And we're sure it's not going to be his last time either. But we're going to start off this morning, just as last week it was Hogan's first time to teach. And I told him I asked him to teach on evangelism, because that's something that would be easy for him, because that's a gift of his, as we've seen from so many testimonies last week, right? Now, these two guys, when I thought of them teaching together, I had the idea of... they both come in with some issues, just like every one of us, right? We had some problems and stuff, and they tried to get back into church, get things right, and the only advice I give them was simply do what is right. You can't control anyone else. You can't control your circumstances. All you can do is make sure you're doing what is right and turn everything else over to God. I think a good word for that is obedience, right?
Amen.
It's a word we don't like to hear. But these are two guys that have been very, very obedient since they've been here. You couldn't ask for more of an obedient demeanor and attitude than these two gentlemen have had. And it really shows, if you know their circumstances and everything when they come in here, to what's going on now and who they are, actually, is because of obedience. They both have real servants' hearts. Both they've been cooking in there all morning. Now they're going to come out and teaching, so they're going to do the double feeding today. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to them.
All right. How's everybody liking the food? Is it good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good to hear. Can you believe that's turkey bacon? Well, before I start, when Bob came up to me first about teaching, he first mentioned me and Eli teaching, and then he also mentioned Ashley and I teaching, and the first thing that came up to me was obedience, you know, and I was excited to talk about obedience. And then come to find out, I had to teach with Ashley first, and I'm over here already thinking obedience, you know, obedience and studying and everything. It was something that was really fresh in my mind, and now I had to set it aside and figure out something else for me and Ashley to do. And that was hard to figure out what to do, you know. But thank God he helped me through that, and I stuck to what I said I was going to do and what I agreed on with Bob, and we made it.
Fine job, you guys.
Thank you. And so this obedience thing, even while I was studying with Ashley and on my own about the things that we talked about previously about stress and anxiety and fears, it was still going in my head. And then these couple weeks beforehand, it seemed like everything just disappeared, including my bookmarks on my phone to different things that I written down. It seemed like I couldn't find it. I should have placed it somewhere, and I'm horrible at keeping things like that organized. Thank God for Ashley that she organizes a lot of things in my life.
That's her job.
Yep, okay. She definitely makes me better. But I know that I'm here for a reason, and God put it in Bob's heart for me to teach. Even though I don't think I'm worthy, I don't think I'm good enough, and definitely say too many ums and not the best speaker, you know, but I do love God, and I do want to do my best that I can for him. And so here we go. We're going to start off with Matthew 6:33. And this is something that I really have held on to a lot. This is what has gotten me through a lot, pondering on this. And it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, when you first hear that and you hear a lot of people talk about it, they think, okay, you know, seek him and then I get. Seek him and I receive, you know. But if you really read what this scripture is about in this moment, it's actually talking about worries. And that's something that I was going through a lot when I first came back to the church. is I was worrying about everything. And what I kept hearing from people like Bob, people like Pastor Don, John, is keep on, stick to it. Keep doing what you're doing. Even though you can't see that things are going to get better, they're going to get better. You know, and even when everybody doubts, even the closest people doubt, still keep on going. Hold on to that hope and promise that God has for you. Because that is way stronger and more truthful than anything else that anybody can say, even if it seems like nothing's going to work out. So I held on to that, and I always ponder that. And I believe that the because of things, scriptures and words like these, it helps us, and getting to know what they really mean helps us to be more obedient, helps us to see how much God loves us, and it makes it even easier to be obedient. Just like, you know, when you work out and you get sore after, you know, and then it's like 3 days you're sore, 2-3 days you're sore, you know, after a while it gets easier and easier, and then you can go more and more. It's the same thing with the word. The more and more you get into it and you become obedient to those small little things, the more and more you'll be obedient to the bigger things as they come. And less you feed into the enemy's lies about you're not going to do good, you're not going to do good, or you're not going to be better, or you're not worthy of his love. So, you know, like I said, I tried hard to figure out obedience things, but I couldn't figure out what I had before, what I had written down, but God kept on bringing in my head what I've heard the past couple years. Different people that I've talked to have read about this, and I've read it a few times as well, and it's the story of Job. Job was a very... And here it says he was the greatest, or let me get the quote exactly. It's Job 1:1-3, and it says, "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned." And it goes on to talk about all the different blessings he had. And what coincidence it is that he had 7 sons. Everybody knows 7 means perfect, right? And 3, you know, is referring to the Trinity, and so many different things that I can go and dissect and spend, just like Bob does sometimes, spends hours on just a couple of verses on Thursday Bible studies. But I really wanted to try to keep it basic, and just... if you read through Job, you'll see the things that he had to go through. And this man was, if we think we're obedient, this guy was even more obedient. It starts off where let's see, where is it at? 4-5. Oh, yeah, okay. First Job 4-5, it says, "His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified." What a good father Job was, that, you know, his kids, he'd throw these feasts for their kids for their birthdays. And just in case, because it says right here, early in the morning, if you read on, early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and curse God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. How many of us do pray for our children when they're going through things, or when they're away, you know, instead of being upset and mad at them and basically locking your doors away from them, you know? How many of us are actually sitting there on our knees praying for them and asking God to interject? And I thought that there was something really important there about us as parents. It was a good example, and it's it shows his obedience. You know, it shows that he believes in God. It shows his faith, and it shows that he knows God, by me doing this, God's going to help my children. God's going to put them in the right direction. No matter what I see or what they do, I know that I have promises that he has made to me and my family, and so on. So you read on to Job, and, you know, he has the perfect life. He has everything from livestock to servants to a bunch of awesome kids and a lot of land. And so he has all these things. He has everything he could ask for. And on top of that, he does what God tells him to. He is righteous. He lives by the word, by the law at the time. And just put yourself in his shoes. He does everything right. And then all of a sudden, everything gets taken away from him. Because an angel and Satan came to God, and Satan basically tempted the situation and said, you know, if he's good, then let me do this to him. Let me do all this to him, you know. And then if you keep on reading, you'll see that God actually lets him to show Satan that this man is not going to betray God. And it's amazing. I mean, you know, it makes you really think about things and see things totally different, because sometimes we think that we're going through bad things because we did something wrong. And, I mean, in my opinion, then what's the reason for grace? You know, what's the reason for Jesus dying on the cross? Mind you, Job didn't see that. He wasn't, you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for him. He wasn't there, you know? But this man still held on to his hope and his faith. So then, as he's going through this stuff, his wife gets taken away from him, his kids get taken away. All these little things start happening, sequences of events. Livestock gets stolen, you know, land gets plundered, and all this stuff. He's starting to lose everything. He gets to the point where he loses everything, and the devil still comes back and says, he says, how about skin for skin? You know, so he basically says, okay, now let me attack him. Because God, at the beginning, God said, don't touch him. Spare him. Take everything, but spare him. And Satan says, okay, but do not kill him. And I'm paraphrasing a lot of this because there's so much to read. And I really encourage you guys all to read Job. It's very, very good. And it'll humble you, because it'll show you that, you know, there's people that have gone through worse, and God was still there, you know, the whole time, and he was still able to redeem this guy. And it shows that we don't have to lose hope, even when everything looks like it's bad. Okay, so we go on his, he gets a set of friends. He has a set of friends that are really close to him, and it's in Job 12, 1 through 4, I think. Yeah. So right before this, it actually starts in Job 9, I'm sorry, but we're going to go through some of, because basically this whole time, these friends of his are actually talking to him. At first they come to him and they're weeping and they feel bad for him because of all the things he's going through. And then all of a sudden, it almost seems like it starts changing. It starts like, they start almost condemning him, almost like saying, you must be going through all of this because you did something wrong, you know, and they're over here talking all this stuff, not knowing or not realizing Job didn't do anything wrong at all, you know, but they believe he did just because of the signs that they're seeing. So they focus too much on the signs, and now they're at the point where they're basically condemning their own friend, their own brother, you know, and these are supposed believers, you know, because they believe in God. It shows it in here, you know. It shows that they know the word and everything. But they didn't believe in God enough, I believe. And they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit inside of Job, that he was who he was. He was blameless. He was somebody that God saw as an awesome man of God, a holy man of God. So he says in here, he replies to one of his friends, or a few of them, in Job 12:1. I'm going to read 12:1 through 4. Doubtless you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have a mind as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who does not know all these things? He's basically telling them here, you know, we're no different, you know. You're talking about me. You're pointing out my supposed mistakes and all that stuff. But what makes you better than me to be like this with me? And that's something we really got to think about and pray about, because I think that sometimes, I mean, I catch myself sometimes seeing things, you know, and I think that you know, when you see things in people and sometimes it's not right, the first thing you think is, oh my goodness, what are they doing? You know, like I had this instance where I had friends of Rico come to my house, and I had quite a few beer cans in the little area where I have cans, right? And I'm horrible at taking cans to the store, horrible at it. These are cans that have developed from the time that I moved into the house. And now it's about, 2 years or something like that? But this happened about a couple months ago. But so a year and a half or so of these beer cans, and I would have one beer every once in a while, maybe once a week or something like that. Or we had a birthday party, yeah. So it made it look even worse. Yeah, she is. Guys, I drink like maybe once a month, or if anything, maybe one beer. And yeah, I don't. Yeah. So anyways, to get to the point, this kid comes in and he goes, I thought you guys were Christian. Why is there beer, all kinds of beer in here? You know, and immediately that did something to me. It hurt. You know, it was offensive to me, and I felt like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? What kind of person am I to show this kid that he thinks this? You know, even though it's not true, the image that it shows, you know, that it portrays, and that's something we got to be careful with. You know, yes, it's okay to do some of these things in moderation or whatever, but you got to be careful who's watching. You know, and because people can really misconstrue things, you know, and that goes into situations too. Like when people get on Facebook and start talking about things and give little hints of problems or whatever, you need to be careful what you say on there, because people are going to take that and make it seem like it's something else or something worse, and then it's going to cause more problems in between you, maybe other relatives, friends. A lot of things can happen, and it's all because of those little things that you got to, you know, it's something innocent really. And it can turn into something bad. And I don't know why I went off on that little mini tangent there, because we're talking about obedience here. But I guess you could say I was obedient to the Spirit when it told me I need to change that habit of, you know, now I need to put them in bags, throw them in the garage or something, figure something out, you know. But now it's like, it seems like as the time has been going on, and I've talked to Ashley about this, it seems like that urge to even have a beer is like dwindling for me. And it's crazy. The only time I may crave it is if I'm cutting the grass and it's super hot out. And it's like, man, a nice Corona would be good, you know. But besides that, it's like, it seems like it's getting worse. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit is working in me and trying to weed out that little thing that maybe could make him look bad, you know, make God look bad. And so now that's how I feel. It's like, I don't want to make God look bad.
You know, sometimes that is just so hard to control. Because it's not that you're doing anything wrong, it's the person that made that assumption is wrong. Case in point, Donna. This is a long time back. She worked in English Gardens. True story. Now, this is how bad Johnny's Nursery, okay. Showing my age. Johnny's Nursery. And across the street from it was an adult entertainment dancing place, right? Donna worked at English Gardens. But her car, she would sometimes park on that side, away from the lot. So she was parking in front of there. There was people, more than one, actually come to the church to talk to the pastors in private of what Donna was doing.
No, they said Eddie had a problem because they knew it wasn't.
It wasn't just, some people actually thought you were dancing there.
Oh,
no, that's the truth.
No, they were saying from Eddie R. Yeah. He had his ear thing for work on it, and they, I remember that one person said,
yes.
You know it's their truck because
your
muffs are on there, and we know. And, I mean, it was crazy. I was like,
what? What did Donna do wrong? She parked her truck, but she was judged by what she parked it for. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things you can't control what other people think, but that shows not that you have a problem, it's showing what their problem is, where their mind
right.
is, right?
Right.
That they would go to that first.
Okay. So moving on, for lack of time, if you read on in Job 13, and I'm going to read 13 through 19, this is, I put on here, Job maintains his hope and stands firm and confident that the Lord will deliver him from the literal hell on earth he has experienced. He's at the point where everything's taken away from him, and now he's afflicted with disease, and everybody looks at him with filth, you know. Nobody wants to be his friend anymore at this time, you know. Everything's taken away from him, but he says this from while his friends are talking to him and talking down to him and stuff. Keep silent and let me speak. Because he's grown, he's saying this, he's groaning, and he's like, God, why is this going on to me? You know, he's trying to pray and talk with God about this, you know, and this, they're like basically scolding him because of the words that are coming out of his mouth. This guy's suffering. Yes, he's going to say stuff that may not be right or out of hand, and we got to have grace on him, you know, just like God has grace on us when we do stupid things, you know. And but you know what? He's in this whole time, he never said nothing bad to any of them. Directly at all, while they're all directly speaking to him, condemning him. And he goes, why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands? See, so he knows what he's doing. He knows that he's groaning against God, and so he knows his wrong, you know, but he's at this point where he's like, just take me away, you know, kill me, because what was the point of me even being born if you're going to take everything in my whole life away, you know? I mean, imagine if your whole family was taken away. You know, how would that make you feel? You know, would you want to still be around? I don't know about me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what I would do if all my children were taken away from me and my wife. I mean, that's hard to live with all of that. All of them die before you. I want to die before all of them, you know? So they say, he says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. For no godless man will dare come before him. Listen carefully to my words. Let your ears take in what I say. Now that I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. Can anyone bring charges against me? If so, I will be silent and die. That's how confident in God he was. It wasn't in his own self. It's because he knew that if I stayed obedient to God's word, that he will vindicate me. And that's how we need to look at things. You know, even though time after time after time, things don't go right, even though you're trying to make it go right, keep on having that hope. Keep on struggling through that. Suffer through that, because maybe in that suffering, you're going to get something good out of it. So, I mean, how amazing is that? You know, that's a great example of how we should be obedient even through those tough times. I'm going to have to cut this short. I'm going to take all of Eli's time. I know.
Good.
All right, so I got a ton here, and it's crazy because
no, it isn't. We can bring it back another time.
Everything was in my way the whole time I was trying to learn this stuff, you know, or study this stuff, and everything was getting in my way, like, every little thing. We had birthday parties after birthday parties after different things. It seemed like my time was just going shorter and shorter. The moment I open up my Bible, so I have to, I get like one verse in, and then bam, I got to do something, or something comes up. It was very hard, you know, and it's crazy to, you know, I mean, I got more than half of my stuff still. But what I want to show you guys is there's hope still. We need to remember that.
Yes.
I just wanted to give you guys this crazy thing. I thought it was cool. In Job 19:23, it says, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool and lead, or engraved in rock forever. Jesus Christ is our word, right? He is our rock, right?
Yep.
He just foretold, and he didn't even know it. He just prophet on his own self that his words were going to be written in the rock, and it is. How much, I mean, it, crazy coincidence, right? But I thought that was really cool. It really spoke to me, reading that come out of his own mouth, and it shows up now, you know, in this rock that lives forever. So I'm not going to be able to finish all this stuff, but I want to say this. Don't let the enemy take your hope, even if it's all you have left. Be obedient to that at the least. You know, that'll be a good start, is to be obedient to that. And that's why I put that seek him first. Because if you're obedient to that at the least, it's going to make a way forward, make a path for you from there on. Hold on to that at least, even though everything else fails.
works on purpose.
You want to take this?
I'm pretty sure everybody can hear me, right? No?
Here.
Why you gotta record?
No, it's fine. It's gonna be very quick. I apologize beforehand if I make any mistakes. It is kind of hard to be up here.
That's the mistake is if you don't do it, brother.
Trying to be obedient.
You are.
Exodus 19, verse 4 and 9 says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine." So, that's a promise, right? Obedient is to be submissive to somebody else's will. Who are we supposed to be submissive to? God's will, right? So, how many know this game called Simon Says? Okay. So, believe me, there's a purpose for this. And a purpose in my life, too. So, let's play this game. It's very easy. Instead of Simon, we're going to replace it with who we're supposed to comply with. So, it says God says, right? So, God says, raise your hand, right? And God says, bang the table. Now, we got to give them a round of applause, right? We all failed, right?
Sorry, you're out.
Most of us failed, right? But here's what it is. How many times are we not trying to pay attention to God's will and be obedient to Him? But what we believe is right, we follow. Right? How many of us do that on a daily basis? My experience was coming here. Most of you don't know, I actually came here almost 2 years ago, before Ashley and Ricardo were married. And I was here for about 2 months, almost 3 months, and no matter what I did, I was pulled away, right? Even though I wanted to be here, I was pulled away, so I went back to my home church, right? And then that didn't go well again, so I came here, and I said, God, what is your will? What am I supposed to be doing? I still couldn't understand it. Then Ricardo asked me one day, hey, brother, can you help me cook? Because Ashley's not feeling well. And I said yes, but I really wanted to say no. The reason was because we work so much, and it's like, so that very first day I walked in through those doors, and I don't understand, I don't know if anybody can understand, but as soon as I walked in through that door, I felt refreshed, I felt uplifted, and then we started cooking, and we started seeing people eat, and it was like, man, God, this is your will, this is what you want me to do, right? And then the spirit, the evil spirit inside of me, which is my flesh, said nope, 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 nope. One day I was sitting in there, right? And I come from a church that speaks in tongues. That's how I was raised. So I was sitting in the church, in the office with Bob and Pastor Don, who should have been here because that's who I was relying on if I messed up, but that's okay.
He's here in spirit.
And as they're praying for me, Bob starts speaking in tongues. I'm like, man, that was God's will. Hey, this is what you wanted to see. Here it is. Right? Here it is. Here's what you wanted to see. Here's your sign. Boom. And then here's the problem. We always fight back. We fight back a lot as Christians. Unfortunately, we fight back. It's like we're fighting against, you know, the establishment. There is nothing to be fighting against. We are serving an almighty God. Sitting in there every day, every time we cook, we pray. We pray and we ask God, and we're obedient to Him. And the signs that He continues to send our way are immense. The only thing I wanted to be part of this church, besides being part of this church, the only ministry I really wanted to get into was worship. But the first ministry that I signed up for was cleaning. Because Pastor John was always saying, we need people to help clean. We need people to help clean. Contact Esther. And I'm like, I don't even want to know who Esther is. Why? Because I didn't want to sign up. But when Ed Trout came, I signed up. Unfortunately, I was hurt. But then I signed up, and then it became a constant. And then Esther says, hey, do you want to take one of my cooking Sunday? At that moment, I was like, yeah, I got you. No worries. You know, this is my form of worship besides singing. Well, then Pastor John said, hey, he found out I play percussion, and he said, we need a backup drummer, right? Remember, my will was to be in worship. But then I had to understand that God says, I do everything in order. Everything has to be ordered in my kingdom. So I say, hey, Pastor, as much as I would like to, I already have a ministry. You know, I have something that I'm working in. I'm obedient to the word of God. Even though he is my pastor, we serve one Lord, right? Amen. So I stepped and I said, I can't. I can't because I have to be in there when I'm supposed to be in here. And I really don't want to give this up because of everything you do for me, everything you do in my life. But it's hard for us to distinguish sometimes the word of God and the word of our own will. And that's where we have to be obedient, submissive in prayer, in constant prayer. And sometimes I find myself at work like, God, thank you for everything you do, for the light that you shine on me, right? But I must be obedient. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing for us as Christians. And obedience doesn't mean go say your all the sins you've committed to a man and then go say 6 Hail Marys and we're good. You know, that's what a lot of people believe. Being obedient is to carry, each and every one of us has a purpose here. Each and every one of us. And I see it every day. I see it when people are worshiping. I see it in leadership. I see it in my elders. So when Bob came up to me, and we were, little table was right here. And he said, I need you, would you guys like to, when Bob says would you like to, it really means I need you to. That's exactly what he's trying to say. And I have Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account to this, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you.
Amen.
To me, I was like, I don't want to do this. I talk all day. That's all I do for a living is talk to people. And I like being in the kitchen, being quiet, right? But that's not what God called us to do today. So it's amazing that we sit here, and all the stories that I've heard, Pastor John's story, and we had to confirm it this morning because I couldn't believe it. I was always under the impression that Pastor John had retired a fireman, did his career, because he had talked about how hard it was to get there, and it was a blessing, and he became a firefighter. And then he said, I had to become the pastor. And today he confirmed it this morning. Right? It was his dream job. And I asked him, how long were you planning to be a firefighter? He's like, till I retired, at least in my 50s, if not more. And I said, so when did you become a pastor? He's like, I was 41. I had 9 years being a firefighter. He said, and I had to give it up for you. I was like, wow.
And he was just joking right there.
No.
In a way, you know.
In a way, he had to give it up for us. But
it was truth. There's truth to that.
Understand that. And he said that the Lord told him, I gave you this job and you can't give it back. So there's a time and a purpose for everything. There's a time that we're supposed to be in a certain ministry or a certain aspect of our life. And there's a time to give that up because the Lord has more things for us. Sometimes we learn from those things. We learn from those experiences and we must move forward. So I've understood and seen the blessings that God has done in my life because I am obedient. I see that this church continues to grow, the Holy Spirit moving. No, those things are amazing. To have pastors that are so dedicated, for somebody to give up a career is difficult because being a pastor is not a career. It's an obligation. It's a work. It's something that is so amazing, but I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a pastor's kid. I've seen the other side of that fence. I've seen the nights of your mom and your dad crying because a lamb has left. And so it's heartbreaking to see that. See, when they're the only ones that show up sometimes to events, to all these things. And it's a blessing to have those type of people here. People like Bob. Right. You know, those are great things to have. And it's like I said, I don't speak a lot when it comes to talking to people, because it's embarrassing for me sometimes, and I'm not very good at it. But to end, I thought this was amazing. The book of James, Verse 25, chapter 1 says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, Amen. They will be blessed in what they do." Amen. So, Amen. How beautiful is that? Like, hey, that's a promise. The Bible says this is what we do. And a blessing, something, it may be, to you, it may be minuscule, maybe so little. But my brother and I, we always pray for the food when we start, when we cook it. And we ask God to bless it, right? And I see Betty as a matriarch of the church. That's how I see her, right? So I said, God, one day I'm going to cook something that Betty's actually going to love. Right? And I kept saying, Lord, that day's going to come. And if it comes, that means we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do in here. So we made, I can't remember what it was. But Betty came up to me and said, man, that was amazing. I said, God, you're amazing. Because even in the smallest things, in what we believe to be the smallest ministry, you bless us. Right?
Amen.
You bless us because we're obedient. And that's what he's promised us. He's going to give us a kingdom, but we must obey and submit to his will.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Good job. Good job. Give him a hand for the cooking, too. All right, who would you, you finished up, Eli? Who would you like to close?
Donna.
All right.
Great. Lord God, we just give you honor and praise today, and I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word this morning, the food that you fed us spiritually. Lord, I pray as we go down, Lord, that you would feed us even more, Lord God. But, Father, most of all, I pray we give to you today, that we would look to you and give you everything within us, Lord God. I thank you for Eli and Rico. I thank you for them, Lord. Father, I pray your anointing, your blessings upon them for the word that they shared with us today, Lord God. And Father, help us to apply it to our life. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord God. Obedient in all things and give you honor, Father. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you and we give you today and we praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.